time for Hype and Nonsense. As live as they want to be from California, here's Sean and Jen.
We're scoping it.
We're trying. I don't know how well we're doing, but we're trying.
How does it feel to be scoped, Jen?
Oh, that's a great phrase. No.
We're live. We actually are live.
We are.
Sometimes we're as live as we want to be, but we're actually live.
We're actually live. Live, yes.
Yay. Welcome to Hyper Nonsense. We are the podcast that comes to you straight from the heart of California. How are you doing tonight, Jen?
I'm doing okay. I'm actually doing okay. Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's been maybe a couple weeks since we've done a show.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of reasons why, which we may or may not cover. Not so important.
Yeah.
But this time last week, because, you know, we're really exciting people. We live exciting lives. And last Saturday night, so a week ago from when we're recording this, we decided, hey, why don't we clean our studio?
Yeah.
And
it needed it. You know, you gotta do what you do.
And we then proceeded for the next few hours to dust everything and pull all this stuff out. And one of the challenges that you face when you've got more than just a single microphone in your audio setup is things get, you know, dials get bumped and things just kind of get knocked all out of whack, and you got to hope you can get it all back into place. And I noticed as our intro music came on here that, you know, there were lights on my board that were coming on that I don't usually see. And
oh, that's not a good sign, That's not a good sign.
If things don't sound quite like you normally expect, we'll get it there eventually.
Yeah.
You know, our promise, what was our old promise?
I don't remember.
Back in the original Hyper Nonsense, you know, just keep...
Give us another try.
That's right. Eventually, we'll get it right.
Yeah.
So, I alluded to this earlier, but we are actually live right now. We're trying a bit of an experiment where we are, essentially we are broadcasting live.
We are.
We're using
Periscope.
You're right. We're using this new service. It's real popular with the kids on all the social nets, called Periscope. Now, Periscope is interesting, but it also has limitations. So,
The biggest limitation we're seeing right now is you can only do Periscope in vertical or portrait mode. You can't do, landscape mode, right? So what you're seeing is just this little teeny view of the studio, and you can't even get both me and Sean into the picture. So it's just me for now.
Yeah. For now. I mean, we tried to do kind of some preliminary testing of this last night, and the only way that I could really get with the limitation of the Periscope vertical video thing, the only way I could possibly get both of us in the shot was I had to actually take the phone, because this is all running through my iPhone.
Right.
There's no other way right now to get video into Periscope. You can only do it through an iPhone app.
Yeah, through their app. Is there an Android app as well, or just?
I don't think so yet.
Okay. I mean, we don't have Android, so it doesn't really matter for us, but for others it might matter. So anyway, yeah. So we've got this little narrow video of our boring little studio only me on it and not both of us on it, which may be a little weird. I don't know.
And what I was saying is the only way I could actually sort of manage that angle was I had to take the phone into the hall
Right.
And
right.
At present time, we don't really have any way to kind of make that work. Now, one thing I am happy about, and I'm assuming that if Jen, you're actually monitoring the Periscope
right
feed.
I am.
And I don't know if right now if it says if we have any viewers.
We have 5 people.
Okay.
So one of them is probably me because it doesn't know.
Yeah.
You know, the Periscope thing doesn't know that
now,
I'm on the show and watching the show. It's got no way of understanding that.
We, you know, we are assuming that our sound is going through. So if you're
listening to this,
it would be fantastic if you could tweet either at HyperNonsense or at Shawno and let us know if you're actually getting the audio. Because one of the challenges that we faced here is, you know, we're doing a program, right? We got 2 mics, we got a soundboard.
Got all that hooked
and
up.
I had to figure out a way to get all of that sound, you know, essentially the same sound you're hearing on the podcast into Periscope because if we had...
We've lost someone. We have 4 now.
No surprise.
Aww.
Well, I'm assuming if we've held people this long...
Yeah, there's 4 people still here. One of them is me.
Well,
okay.
Okay, but I mean, I think if we had no sound at all, people would have jumped by now.
I would think, possibly. So,
but anyway,
thank you for sticking around, whoever you are.
Anyway, we've got this real sort of jury-rig thing where we've got a dinosaur holding the phone.
Really?
And
we really do.
Yeah, Jen, when you get a chance...
Take a photo of the dinosaur holding
the
phone.
Well, yeah, we'll do it after.
Yeah,
we'll
it would be really weird to do it now because then you'd have a Periscope of me holding a phone up to the Periscope to take a photo of the dinosaur holding the phone with the Periscope on it. And yeah, at some point
okay.
you hit.
All right. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Hold on. We've made Periscope history. Let me just play that. This fine gentleman actually helped me out last night. At Mitch Bear on Twitter.
Okay.
And he says that he can hear... He says, we can hear you, and he also says that he's the one that helped out last night, and I remember, and I thanked him on the stream last night, so thank you, at Mitch Bear. And
it's nice to hear from you again.
It's good to know that our audio is being heard, because I don't want to say that we've kind of created...
Here we go.
podcast history here tonight, but I don't know. I mean, I know that there are a lot of podcasters who are using the Periscope in different ways, and they're doing things with the scope.
Right.
And that's fine. But I feel like we're really the first ones to kind of go live on the scope with actual, you know, what I would call high quality audio. I mean, you get, by default, obviously, you get the audio from the iPhone, microphone, and if we had tried to do that with this setup, you'd probably be able to hear me okay. You really wouldn't be able to hear Jen that well because she's on the other side of the room.
Right.
And more importantly, as I completely blow out my peas here, more importantly, you wouldn't be able to hear, you know, important things like this.
I think it's excellent.
So,
little random sound things that we have there. Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, just saying, kind of making pod history over here, and I feel like now that we've kind of added a whole other, you know, level of value to Periscope that we should probably get, you know, I don't know, 20% of the revenues as we've completely innovated the platform, and everybody can just go on Twitter and at Jack Dorsey.
Right, right.
You know, because the Twitter owns the Periscope. So you just go on at Jack Dorsey, tell him that at HyperNonsense has completely revolutionized your product, and they're due at least 20% of all revenues going forward. So
yeah. And then they'll probably turn that around on us and say, well, we want at least 20% of your revenue if you're using our product for
that's
your show.
Fine.
You know, because 20% of zero is zero, so that's
well,
not a problem.
Hold on.
But, you know,
hey, hold,
it's not
hold
quite
on.
Zero. Yeah.
Hold on. We, we have a Patreon at
HyperNonsense.com/Patreon
that is currently netting us 13 a month.
Oh, okay.
That's not $1,300.
No, that's $13, which was, you know, more than I anticipated, I think. And
so they can have, in exchange for 20% of our 13, we can have 20% of all their babillions.
Right, right. Which wouldn't make sense. Why would they do this deal, you know?
Well, you know, it's a crazy and wacky place, mm-hmm. this Silicon Valley.
And, you know, if they really wanted podcasters to start using Periscope to do live shows, you know, mm-hmm. they could, you know, kick us some money to have us maybe find a way to use Periscope so that you can see both of us, you know, at the same time.
Allegedly, they're working on, you know, bringing in landscape mode, which makes me think about this. You know, I've been trying to be a little more, you know, scope conscious, as you might say, in the mm-hmm. sense that there have been times when I've been out and about, you know, kicking around town, doing stuff, and I thought, oh man, there's something cool, I should Periscope this. And every time I would think about it, it'd be too late.
A
couple weeks ago, I was out for a walk, and I was walking by the train station here, and there was a train that was getting ready to leave, and I thought, oh yeah, this would be a cool thing to Periscope. Because I had walked by the train a few other times, and I had that Periscope delay where the train was, I was like walk, because there's a train, pedestrian bridge here, and I was walking over the train as the train was getting ready to leave, and I'm like, oh man, this would be a really cool time for a scope. And then I was, well, it's too late by the time I get the phone out, do all the things.
Right.
The A couple weeks ago, I hit the perfect scope. I had, you know, like perfect scope versus train, you know, the needles of the compass were coming together or whatever. I don't know if that's the actual term. Okay. I don't know if that's how compasses work. Never got past, you know, basic geometry in fake college. So the thing is that I was walking by, train was sitting there. It was getting ready to leave. And I pull the scope out, and I'm all ready. And I wasn't sure, because I had heard somewhere that, you know, Periscope was going into landscape, and that maybe it was a thing you could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled out my scope and launched my scope, and I stood out right, you know, not right next to the train, but close to it.
Well, you don't want
to
be right next to the train.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing.
I had the phone on the side. Now, the thing that's frustrating about the way Periscope works is what you see when you're producing your video. Like if you turn the phone onto the side, the, I don't know, aspect of what you see in the video changes with the actual camera. But because it's always stuck in vertical mode, what happens is if you are scoping, as I like to say, and you turn the phone on the side, then anybody who's watching is actually seeing a sideways video. So I thought about it, and I went, you know, this probably ain't working. So I killed my scope, and I waited a while because it just seemed like it was taking forever for this train to go through, to leave. And I walked up this ramp a little bit. I got actually closer to the train. I thought, wow, I had a really cool view here. And I witnessed something that was interesting and also perhaps frightening at the same time.
What did you see?
Because I was right at the front of this train. And, you know, again, off to the side.
So you were not standing on the tracks, let's clarify.
You were not
on the tracks in front of this train. Yeah.
This train was getting ready to leave, and the train conductor, to, you know, get some, you know, he wanted to clean the windshield in front of him, which I assume is the proper train term.
Sure.
So I don't know if it's canopy.
Somebody can tell us if that's
train,
right, you know.
Train window.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get some In order to help clean off the outside of the windshield, he took what was essentially a bottle of water, like a plastic bottle of water, and he just kind of held it out to the side because the train driver has a window off to his side that he can open. Mm-hmm. And he held out this, just again, like Aquafina bottle or something. Mm-hmm. And he just starts kind of like sort of trying to like spritz, you know, sort of flick water from his bottle onto the windshield so he can like run the windshield wipers. And I'm kind of going, Is there no better way?
Yeah, there must be a better way.
Can we not just run a hose out here? Yeah. Is there not a better way to achieve this? So, you know, not so sure about that, but mm-hmm. I guess the train made it to where it needed to go. So anyway, I'm hanging around and this train is just not leaving. And I'm kind of sitting here going, screw it. I can't wait here all day for this train. So I start walking away and, mm-hmm. and I go to the other side and I'm walking down the bike path and eventually the train comes by and I finally get the scope, but you know, not from the best angle. Okay. So, but I get it. And I remember I'm like, I can't do the landscape on the scope. Right. So I stay in the vertical, get the nice train video and everyone goes home happy. Now, I don't know what the average length of a scope video is, but I feel like...
Is it going to cut us off at some point?
I don't actually know. I don't know. I know that, you know, just...
We're down to two, so that's probably nature. You and me watching it now.
Well,
so.
I'm not there anymore.
Oh, okay, so there's me and someone who is probably our friend that helped with the sound the other day, which would be very nice.
Could
yeah.
be. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there you go. So one thing, speaking of water, I wanted to talk about here mm-hmm. is in California where we are, mm-hmm. We're going through this this drought,
right?
And we're in like year like 8 or whatever of a drought.
I don't remember how many years, but it's been a few.
I know we're at the where it's considered quote unquote severe drought, mm-hmm. and I know that I heard a statistic recently that. The county where we live is down to, they're estimating at current usage levels, about 3 to 4 years of water left. Now, right. At what point do you decide as a person, I'm going to get out of here before, you know, this turns into the next Mad Max movie? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen? Like, what's really going to happen if we actually run out of water? Is there going to be... like, you know, a FEMA truck that comes once a week and gives out,
maybe,
you know, 10 gallons, probably five gallons of water per person per week, which, by the way, I dare you to try to live on 5 gallons of water a week.
I dare you. Yeah.
Because a lot of people would think, oh, well, that I could handle that. But if you ever actually look at your water bill or you just do mm-hmm. any kind of basic research and you find out how much water, you know, the average person uses every day. Mm-hmm. Oh, it kind of blows your mind when you see what it is.
Right. Cause you're just thinking, oh, I'm not going to drink, you know, 5 gallons of water every day, but it's more than that. It's cooking, it's, mm-hmm. you know, cleaning, it's, you know, when you shower, you need water to flush your toilet. You know, there's a lot of things that you use water for. And that's assuming, like, you don't have, like, a large aquarium or a pool or a lawn you're trying to water, which some of these rich people are.
Well, and there's other things that are going on, too. I mean, we're still acting all over the state, you know, not just where we live, but everywhere. Like, well, this is going to somehow... fix itself and we don't need to worry about it.
That's not really true, though, because there are some water sanctions essentially going on. Like the governor just put that in place, like for the whole state, not just little bits and pieces. Like before it was like different counties would be, you know, saying, here's what we're going to do. And it wasn't all together. And there's still that in place, or at least in some places. And now there's sanctions that are talking about, you know, hey, all these rich people with these lawns out here in, you know, essentially the desert. Maybe you should stop watering those now.
Desert's coming back.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't know. The impression I got from everything I've read on this, and I've read quite a bit, is that the people that are poor, they're kind of understanding, okay, wait, you know, we're gonna have a problem.
Okay.
And then the rich people are like, well, we want our lawns to stay green.
Yeah,
we want our golf courses to stay green.
Well,
but the other thing that's gonna happen is, like, locally, if I understand correctly, they're actually going to charge you more for water to offset something.
Well, and what is happening is, I mean, there have been actual, you know, conservation. I mean, people are actively conserving water.
Right, right.
I mean, the reality is the things we're doing now, we should have been doing probably at least 2 years ago, but at least we're doing them now. And that's good. But of course, what happens is all of these water districts start, their revenues go down.
Right, because people are using less water. So they're not, you know, your water bill goes down when you use less water. So they
make less money, and they're the government. They can't ever make less money.
Right, so they're charging you more for the water you're using, even though you're using less.
Yeah.
Which is just mind-boggling.
Yeah,
you know?
And
what's going to happen, though? People are going to say, well, screw it. If I have to pay for it, I'm going to take a 45-minute shower or whatever the hell they want.
Well, in some cases,
what I mean?
That may be true.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've seen these mandatory government restrictions, mm-hmm. but those only apply to other, you know, government things. The only real restrictions that I've heard of that have been placed on, you know, what you might call private citizens, is I know that the state government the state government recently cut back on how much agriculture can pump out of the rivers.
Right.
So
that's our food supply
that's our
and
food
it's not
supply.
Just our food supply.
Well,
California supplies
for
like a lot of states, if not all of them.
And now, but not only that, is it's going to have an economic impact. I mean, California has the state of California is something like the 12th or 13th largest economy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, forget about, you know, the United States, like just the state alone.
Well, it's a big state, you
so,
know.
So, yeah, it's a big state. It produces a lot of things, mm-hmm. you know, agriculture being one of them. So,
yeah.
It's like I really have these moments where I go, okay, nobody's in panic mode yet, and we got a place with a mortgage on it that maybe we could still offload and get out without a loss and head out to Portland, head out to Vegas.
Yeah, but
head out to
Vegas,
wherever they still
if you're worried about water, Vegas is a freaking desert. I mean,
yeah, but they're not. Mm. They've got the water thing worked out. They don't have any problems.
I don't know.
Wherever
I've heard
of
droughts all across the United States, though.
Yeah, but the thing is that there's places that aren't going to be. I mean, like we're getting to the end of what we can do if things don't turn around dramatically with this drought. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
Like I'm figuring, you know, I don't know. I've got. Hopefully, I'm going to turn 39 next month. Hopefully, I've got another 30 years on the planet. I figure if I can find somewhere else that's got water for 10, then I'm doing better than I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And I feel like most of the places in the, you know, in the Pacific Northwest, while, yeah, they are, and you know, you don't really hear about this, but they are starting to get some concerns about drought up there because mm-hmm. what's happening is they're not getting a snowpack.
Right, they're not getting the runoff.
And mm-hmm. that's part of how they get their water, but they've got other sources. And we're sitting here going, well, we're down in 3 to 4 years, and then we're screwed. So it's like, I don't know, I just have these. And what I was starting to say earlier is we're, in some ways, we're responding to it, but in some ways we're not, because there's all these things going on, like new construction is being planned. That's happening here where
we
live.
There's stuff
they're
still
building,
going. I mean,
well, they're tearing down Candlestick Park in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and something's going to get built over it.
Yeah,
and
but maybe they can hold off on that until
in the process, because legally they have to, you know, remediate dust.
Right.
In the process, they're spraying tons and tons of potable water on the demolition site. So it's not even what the water that they're essentially wasting right now. It's not even going at this phase of the project. It's not even going to build a thing. It's just going to tear down a thing. And it's these kind of things where I go, we ain't getting it.
Yeah.
Like this is where this is one of those places where some government entity could come in and go, I get that this is a multi-billion dollar project, but maybe we could wait until we have a little more water.
Well, you know what I think it is, though? I think that, like I said, the rich people who have the money to change over this giant multi-billion dollar project, they don't care. They're not directly affected yet. You know?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these people, they've been fairly well off their entire lives. So they have no idea what it's like to not have what you need. You know, they've never been on food stamps. They've never been on, you know, situations where they couldn't fill up their car, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't think they have the slightest idea of what it means to be without something vital, you know?
Yeah.
And so they really don't have an understanding.
Well, but think
it's going to have to affect them. Like, if we can get those restrictions where it says don't water your lawn, it'll affect them. It's not, I mean, no one is going to die because their lawn is not green, you know, but it'll affect them enough to piss them off. And then maybe they'll start doing something. I don't know.
Well,
what.
And I mean, think about if you really are, you know, extremely wealthy. I mean, presumably if things really get bad and you need to bolt out of the state, well, you're gonna have a loss. You're gonna take a loss
one way or
another.
You're gonna take a huge loss because nobody's gonna buy your property.
Have, you know? Well, yeah, but you're gonna have the resources to at least go somewhere else and set up for a while. And that's kind of the scary
part. That's the thing, though, is they're not just going to bolt. They're going to be angry that they lost all the money they put into the property here.
Well, they will be, but they'll have the capacity, most likely, to at least go somewhere else, you know, write off the loss, you know, buy another house if they don't already have one and have somewhere else to live. And it's people like us that are going to be sitting around going, well, now what do we do? Though I am, you know, in my own way, I mean, I have, you know, I mean, we all know this. I have kind of a weird obsession with the end times, and
not in the way that some politicians do.
Well,
though.
No, not yeah. not in the religious
not like
way.
That.
Just in the
you're talking about like utopian fiction or dystopian fiction,
exactly. Just in the you know, the concept of kind of general society breaking down and what do you do next? So from that perspective, we should stay because, you know, I feel like we could become the documentarians of the new California before they, like, put up a, you know, they, I mean, forget about putting up a wall across Mexico. They're just going to put
a
wall.
Which some politicians honestly want to do.
They're going to put a wall across California. And actually, I just figured it out.
What?
This is how the movie Escape from California happens.
Oh.
Because remember, they close off California and make the whole state into a prison.
Right.
So
this is how you get it.
It all starts with this drought we're in.
There you go.
And by, you know, if the things don't turn around, then what are we in, 2015? So if water runs out by 2019, yeah, by 2020, it'll be Escape from California.
Pretty much, yeah. It's funny you say we'll be the documentarian of it, because if you haven't read the book World War Z, which is, from what I've heard, different from the movie. Mm-mm. I haven't seen the movie, but the book is fabulous. And the book really is, you've got a guy that's basically documenting how different countries handled the zombie invasion or the zombie war, World War Z. And it's interesting. One of the topics in there, and it's been a while since I've read the book, so I can't recite it, you know, word for word or anything. But one of the main concepts is that, you know, you've got poor people who are doing better at survival than the rich people because they've always had to make do with nothing, you know, and they have these skills. Like, they know how to make food. They know how to grow food. They know how to, you know, do laundry without a washing machine. They know how to do all these things. And the rich people are like, oh my God, what am I going to do? You know, and they don't know how to, like, nail a board to the window to keep the zombies out and stuff like that. So I'm like, that could be an interesting take. You know, we could have that sort of
thing.
Well,
and the nice thing is, I mean, there are some really posh multi-million dollar homes out here. So it'll be nice to move into those. We won't have any water or electricity. And we'll have to, you know, we'll have to kind of recreate And I'm sure he no longer listens to us, but we'll have to recreate the Les Zelder fortress out in Detroit.
We used to joke with him about that.
Laser, you know, laser
and then
turrets.
Detroit got scarier.
Force fields.
Yeah. you know, this could solve the homeless problem, though. If all the rich people abandon their property, we've got plenty of homes with nobody in them and nobody paying attention. So we could have all of these people who are currently living on the streets, like living in big houses, you know?
Yeah,
without any water, but, you know.
No, we'll have no food. We'll have no utilities.
Well, if the drought's going to hit like that, it's going to hit everybody. But hey, somebody's going to have a slightly better experience, you know, than they've been living, you know?
They're gonna get, you know, to sleep at night in some of the finest bedding.
Yeah,
you know,
it's always a bright side, I guess. So maybe that's it. I don't know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They'll get to wear, you know, whatever jewelry they couldn't stash, will be able to wear that until you know the hordes come and cut off all your fingers.
What?
To take the jewelry and partially to eat your fingers and partially to take the jewelry.
I don't think it's going to get that bad. I mean, really, you know. But
I mean, do you think about it? Do you think,
well, I mean, think,
do you
though,
think it if, would be practically wise, a good idea to just close it up, get out of here, and if, you know, 5 years down the road, drought is seceding. I don't know if that's the right term, remediating. We can think about coming back.
I don't know, man. So you'd have to make sure that where you went was not going to have a drought as well, because there's a lot of other places. I mean, it's happening like across the coast.
We're not.
It's happening in the Midwest. You know, I mean, you'd have to make sure you're not moving somewhere that's going to have the same effect where you have less resources. You know, I mean, we have a house. We have a mobile home right now, you know, so there's structure here. You know, you move somewhere else. I don't know about that. You know, I don't know.
You know, it's don't you think it's time? I mean, we're not tied down by work. We can.
Well, we're kind of freelance. So,
I mean, we're not. We don't have to go to a. You know, where we are is where we work.
Right.
So we can go to places. We don't have to stay here.
I think someone tweeted you.
And we can go to.
By the way.
We can go to. I think it's a retweet.
A retweet. Okay. That's cool. We have four people watching us now. Hello, four people.
A favorite. So,
yeah. I don't know, man. I think the idea of let's bail out of here before the drought hits and run somewhere else isn't a fail-safe situation, because there are other places that have drought going on as well. We're a bit more dramatic here.
You just want to move, you know, sometimes.
Moving is rough. Moving is really rough.
We sell everything. We become digital nomads.
I don't know.
We live
about that.
The proper 21st century life that we deserve.
Yeah, but see, I have allergies, dude, and going outside is going to kill
you
me.
You already have all the drugs.
Yeah,
for those.
But I don't know, man. Being outside for more than 2 hours and I get sick, let's be honest. So I can't do that.
All right.
You know? But if the drought hits and you want to move into one of these abandoned mansions, I could consider that, you know?
Well,
that'd be okay.
This is one of those things. We need to come up with, like, drought, what is it, drought-pocalypse?
Yeah, drought-pocalypse plans.
Drought-pocalypse plans. Well, see, this is the thing, though, where we are, because my concern would be if you said, you know, everyone, you know, the vast majority of people, especially those with money, are fleeing because there's no more water. What I think is if you say, well, I'm going to go move up into the mansion on the hill, everyone else is going to think that, too.
Oh, yeah. I don't really want it, you know.
They're going to be fighting you for that.
Yeah, well,
But if we stay where we are, no one's going to care.
No one's going to care.
They're
going to
go, oh, well, you're in a trailer park.
And if you think about it, though, like, people who have these mansions with, you know, huge lawns and swimming pools and, you know, giant bathtubs and everything else, and, you know, maybe aquariums and who knows what else, they have fountains in the front of their house, I don't know, they're using a lot more water than the average person anyway. So if they leave, they're not using that water anymore. That could actually help.
But
I mean, that could help a little bit.
But if all the water is already gone, it won't make any difference.
No, they'll bail before that. They will. And then it'll sort of alleviate a little bit because they'll be gone.
Well,
and their extreme water usage won't be affecting the state as much. You can maybe put some of that towards maybe agriculture and have food. You
there
know?
Is. Well, one thing that we could do that, you know, I mean, it works It does and doesn't work in, you know, places where they send third world aid. Is we can just fly a C-130 over and, you know, drop a crate full of Twinkies and Doritos.
That'll last forever. Yeah, except I can't eat any of those, actually, because I'm allergic to all the wheat in them. But most people could eat them. But we did have in Detroit, I believe it was Detroit, where the city was shutting off people's water. And it was during the summer. And I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
And these people had no access to water during the summer. And there was, I don't know if it was FEMA, maybe it was FEMA, but somewhere like an organization that helps, like you're talking about, dropping food, you know, yeah. Came in with water. And I think they came from Canada, you know, I think. And so, I mean, that did happen, you know. So, I mean, that could,
yeah.
I can't remember the exact organization.
Maybe
I'd
Canada
have to look
will
it up,
save
so.
Us.
Oh, well, you know, maybe. That's a
you
possibility.
Know, I had...
There's another concept out there, too, that people are saying. Like, instead of building these pipelines with oil, how about we build them with water? So, like, the flood that Texas had recently, you know, get a pipeline. I think William Shatner's been talking about this, well, actually,
we,
you know?
We talked about it. We talked about it on, if not our last show, the show before,
right,
which
you
was,
know.
We said... Well, we had the whole thing where, you know, Shatner allegedly wants to have a Kickstarter and he's going to raise
right.
like $1 billion.
Right. And just make
a pipe
instead of like the pipelines you use for oil. But, you know, a pipeline that would just move water. So like when the flood happens in Texas, you just send that extra water over here.
Yeah. But his plan was to send a pipe up into the Pacific Northwest. So You make it sound like it would be some kind of, you know, flexible thing that you could just turn around and point.
Oh, I thought he was planning on like a cross country sort of things, you know, maybe, I don't know. I mean, it's a Kickstarter and it's run by Shatner and I don't know how much, you know, engineering has gone into the basic concept yet.
None.
And I don't know if anyone's like, you know, check that out to see how possible it is, but
there's been more progress made on the California, train, the bullet train.
Oh, the speed rail or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. That's not going so well either, but that's not my biggest concern at the moment, you know?
Yeah,
but I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, like when the flood was happening in Texas, that was a scary flood that people died. It was the pictures people were tweeting from what happened were just horrific. And at the same time, I'm thinking like, okay, if there was a way to just channel that water over here, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, well, that's I think that, too. And unfortunately, we just don't have the technology,
but we should have the technology, because if we could figure out how to get oil from all the way up in Canada down to Texas and the Gulf of Mexico, we ought to be able to figure out how to get water from one place to another. You don't even have to heat the pipes, you know,
but and that's one of those things that I don't know what the longest, you know, working aqueduct is in the world, or has that, I mean, that has existed, and I would say in the modern world. I'm not talking about, you know, whatever they engineered back in the days of Julius Caesar. I'm talking about like that exists right now, because I have to wonder if part of the challenge in transporting water that far is, does it transporting it through a pipe, you know, does it become non-potable when it gets to the end? And then you have to do things like you have to make sure that, you know, you've got it's filtered properly so that it doesn't, you know, get full of silt and clog up the thing and do all the stuff.
So connect it to like a filtering thing on the end. You know, here's your destination point.
Just
filter it right there.
Just take this is all you do. You take one of those Brita filters, you scan it, you build a huge laser printer.
Yeah.
Or not a laser,
no.
a 3D printer,
make a giant filter, yeah.
And then you just build it on that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could, you know, you can boil water and make it potable, you know?
Well, see, and that's the thing I'm thinking.
Is
like,
that the right word? Is potable mean drinkable?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think it would have to be something like, okay, you have your raw water, wherever it came from, nature, be it
because
ground,
honestly, if
lake,
you're taking flood
rain,
waters, you're gonna have to do something,
and
you can't just drink it.
You kind of put it through like an initial filtering, just to like get all the, I don't know, all the
trash,
the fish and the condoms and everything else
Lovely concept.
Well, that usually goes into sewers, but you know, what happens when it floods? The water comes up from all the places.
Right. Yeah.
All the fish and all the
yeah. Okay, all so the things that, so you put a filter on the one end where it comes in, and then you put another filtration system on where it comes out.
It goes into the pipe, and then it goes all the way. It goes all the way out. And is my hand going
a little bit?
Onto,
yeah,
okay.
a little bit. It was just a tiny little bit.
I'm still on the scope.
I don't know. I'm not seeing it now. Wait, there you are. Okay, just a little bit. Your hand just sort of blipped in and out. But yeah. But I mean, we know how to build the pipes, and we know how to build filtration for water because we have those. That's how our sewer system works, right?
Yeah.
It cleans the water and sends it back through so people can safely drink it again. You know, we know how to build those. Put that on the end of those pipes and filter the water, and there you are. Redistribute, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure that it's possible.
It has to be. We have all of the technology. We have all of the pieces.
Yeah, but
we know how we've done it before.
This
is with different things.
All right, I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
I've figured it out. Because this is, you know, this is always the thing about America, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason that we can pump oil, crude oil, for billions of miles is because it's worth billions of dollars. And granted, if we lived in a rational, logical world, water would be worth a lot more than oil, but it isn't. So you need to figure out a way to make all this commercially viable. And I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
Per our new, our recently minted agreement with Twitter through Periscope, innovated Periscope through the application of high quality audio taken from our mixer directly into Periscope.
Mm-hmm.
First podcast to ever do it.
As far as we know.
We're going to call Guinness tonight and get that on the books.
And they're going to say, what's a podcast?
They already have records.
They
have world records in relation to podcasts.
Really? Guinness does? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, now that we've minted that, we're officially getting our slice of the Twitter revenue based on innovating their product, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
We can take that money and we can start up our own massive water pipeline company to create, you know, these pipelines that are now. Is there something to be thought of though when you say, let's take all the water from, you know, thousands of miles away and bring it over here? I mean, are we now starting to kind of circumvent nature a little too much?
If it's a flood that's killing people, it's got too much water.
You think that somehow we're going to be able to, like, you know, catch the floodwaters and recirculate them, like, and thus avoid a flood, which, by the way, if we could do that, let's just say we could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that we could somehow capture enough of the flood water while it's still rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it doesn't even
sure.
accumulate. We can
sure.
put it into
okay.
our ginormous piping system, ship it to, you know, drier realms.
Mm-hmm.
Then aren't we sort of circumventing nature twice? Because nature, if there were no intervention, nature would flood this one place and then leave this other place dry. And we're saying, no, we're not going to flood this place. We're going to keep this other place essentially not dry.
Well, the water cycle's global.
Yeah.
You know?
And
it's global.
No, I get that, but also it's not designed to dump a bunch in one place and then before it can actually, you know, completely interact with the environment, move it to another.
But,
you know what I mean?
But we can prevent, you know, if we had this technology you're talking about, like, I don't know, it'd have to, like, catch the water before it came all the way down, you know what I mean? Or catch a good percentage of it. Like, it'd have to be built above the buildings and stuff, I suppose. You know, well, let's see. People died in that flood. People will die in other floods. Why not prevent that and then send the water to somewhere that's needed?
All right, wait. Breaking on Twitter.
Okay. What do you got?
This is from at Slow News.
Okay.
Says audio through the mixer sounds great. Thank you.
Awesome, Slow News.
Thank you, Slow News.
I think we were watching your Periscope the other day, Slow News.
No, that was slowcounty.info.
That was slowcounty.info. Okay, I was close. All right. We didn't watch yours then, Slow News, but if you have one, we'll give it a try.
We will. No, we're all about scoping. You can scope us. We'll scope you.
Right. You know, it's all good.
We'll have a big scope party on the internet. So have we solved this drought thing already?
I think we have. Yeah, I think we have.
All right.
Now we just need, you know, people with power to listen to us. And, you know, the other way I think it could be solved, though. Oh, my God. All right.
So anyway, we got to wrap this up.
Yeah, this is getting too much. All right, sure.
Well, you seemed like you had one last thought.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, we are moving towards more, you know, green energy, right?
Yeah.
And we're moving towards cars that are running on electricity and that are running on, you know, not running on gasoline as much, right? So as we, you know, wean our way off of oil, would we really need those pipelines that are there anymore? Maybe that structure can be reconfigured, you know?
Look,
this ain't going to happen in a week or anything, but, you know, it could happen in a couple decades, maybe.
If there's one thing I'm all for, we can melt all of those Canadian igloos and ship all that water down to the United States. There's one thing I stand for. I want to see something here. Real quick.
Sure.
I'm gonna leave my mic open, but hopefully it won't get too noisy. So.
Okay. So you're checking something I know not what.
Well, I want to see.
Yeah.
You know, we've been scoping now for about 50 minutes, probably close to an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
wow.
My iPhone has been in a constant state of you know, having a camera running.
Right. Yeah.
And usually after a while they start to get kind of hot.
Oh, well, so, let's see, like, how,
I'm afraid to touch it too much,
yeah.
Instead, because I don't want to jar it loose from its, you know...
Well, we've got it so you can actually see something of us, so right now you can't see it, but he's reaching behind the case of the iPhone, which we're streaming through, at least the video, well, and the audio, too, now, to see how warm this is. I don't know if you've killed the broadcast. I'm not sure. It looks like we've got a delay, so.
Well,
I don't know.
I guess here's the thing. I do have a case on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably going to keep me from being able to actually really, like, feel how the heat coming off it. But when I put my hand in front of it, I figure if it was giving off a lot of heat, or if nothing else, it would set the dinosaur on fire.
Well, then we would know, you know.
Hasn't happened yet.
And we don't have a fire extinguisher, and our nearest source of water would be past the dinosaur, so we've planned very well.
I still got about a third of a glass here.
Okay, you could try.
So, quick count on the scope. How many are we?
We have four right now, one of which is me.
So, we have three.
Yeah. Three and me.
All right. Well, I think we should probably go ahead and do this.
Okay.
Which is kind of a bonus of the whole scope thing. Mm-hmm. So, on our last show, we talked about how it was close to or right around Jen's birthday.
Right. Been a little while since then.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks.
It has, yes.
But, and you know, we put it out there. You know, you can always go to, if you enjoy the program, you can always go to hypernonsense.com/support. And there's a bevy of ways that you can support us there. And one of our listeners, Tigger, in Idaho, which I believe is not currently in a drought.
I don't know. I haven't heard that. I could be wrong. She could let us know if she knows.
Tigger used to and still sometimes very rarely occasionally does a podcast called Boise and Beyond.
Right. About her travels, and it's fascinating.
And as I have learned, the correct pronunciation is Boise. There's a few things in life that everyone should understand if you're going to stray out of, you know, the comforts of your own home. One of them is Boise, Idaho.
Right.
Another one is Ventura, California. Very important.
Right.
Don't want to say it with the CH sound.
Ventura. Ventura.
Well,
in Espanol. Oh, there is a pop-up on your iPhone right this minute.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I don't know what it says.
It might have been a comment, so keep an eye on your thing over there.
I'll see if a comment comes through, because that
might
be interesting.
Or it might be Periscope telling me that we've hit a limit.
I don't know.
You can't. Is it still on?
It's still there. Yeah, there's a white box across the center of the screen. I don't know if we're still actually broadcasting or not. Okay, no comments have come through.
Let me go see what that is.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's telling me we have to quit.
Let's see what this says now.
Oh, no, guess what? Low battery.
Low battery! We didn't think of that. Okay, so...
I'll never be able to get this phone back now.
Yeah. Well, kind of. There we go. Okay.
That's pretty close to where it was.
Well, low battery.
We'll keep going. Well, that's the thing. This kind of video thing eats up the battery.
Yeah, so we shouldn't be trying to do 2-hour shows on this or anything. But it was just something to try, you know.
I was only at, like, I think 40% maybe when we started, so.
Okay.
But anyway, Jen's birthday.
Right.
I don't know what I was saying before that.
We were talking about Tigger and her podcast.
Right. Well, okay, so Boise, Idaho, Ventura, California.
Right.
Because I, as being a former Chicagolandian, I would say Ventura.
Right. Now,
like,
see.
You know, Robin Ventura, he was a shortstop. For the White Sox.
I don't know.
Ventura. Everybody said Ventura with a CH sound. You want to say Ventura with a hard T.
Right. And like when I got here, like I speak some Spanish. So when I got here, I'm pronouncing everything in Spanish and people are looking at me funny. I'm like, what? It's Spanish. That's how
of
you
course,
say it.
Of course, there's San Luis Obispo. No, it's San Luis.
San Luis Obispo.
Obispo.
Mm-hmm. Now the interesting thing is when I was living in Illinois, and that's another one. It's Illinois, not Illinois. But true. When we were living there, I was working in a bookstore, and we had a book that had to do with botany and had a lot of information on different plants. And it turned out that the Cal Poly, I think it was Cal Poly, actually assigned that book to their students for one of their ag courses, right? And they'd run out of copies out here. So they would call our store in Illinois and ask, could you ship us this many copies of that book? And they would, you know, they'd say, you know, where they were, and whoever was, you know, taking the order, would try to call back to say, oh, okay, we've got your order. Here we go. And they would say San Luis, you know?
Yeah. Well, I got a story about that, but I want to do this before we run out of battery.
Oh, sorry.
Because actually, I'm getting some good feedback here on Twitter, because apparently Tigger is tuned in.
Oh, hey, Tigger.
And she says that apparently the only people that can comment on the actual Periscope video are the ones that I'm following, and that's a limit that I have set in the app.
Oh,
and I'm not gonna run over to try to change that right now. I will change it if we do this in the future.
We can consider this, yeah.
But
we're still learning Periscope.
The whole thing is that we have these gifts from Tigger
sent
for Jen's birthday because she's one of the nicest people ever.
Tigger is amazing. Yeah, Tigger's wonderful.
So while we still have some battery left, we're
going to
go ahead and start opening these packages. So
okay.
Jen, you've got them right there next to you on the floor.
I have them right here on the floor. I don't know if anybody can see, but they're right here. I guess it is on camera. So here we are. All right, I'm going to start with the one on the top, which is this one right here.
It's a softer package.
It's a softer package. It has bubble wrap. I know.
By the way, this Slow News is trying to get spread the word.
Oh, hey, rock on, Slow News.
He says first use of Pro Audio mics and Pro Audio mixer on at Periscope, and he's tagged someone.
Someone? Who did he tag?
I don't actually know if Slow News is. I'm using the romance language he. For all I know, it could be a woman, and that's fine either way.
Okay, we don't know.
Or identifying as neither, or
right.
both.
Or both. Could be both. Okay, so here's what we have. Now, the front of this package has a company name on here that says Mexa Flavor. Okay?
Mexa Flavor.
Mexa Flavor. It's one word. Capitalize the M and the F, Mexa Flavor. And there's a box inside of this package, and let's see if I can make this work. Bubble wrap. Everybody hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Click. Okay, let me see if I can sort of... I'll start pulling things out of the box, right? Okay, so here we have... Oh, my gosh, look at that. We have Mission Yellow Corn Tortillas Super Soft.
Oh, good.
And they are gluten-free.
See, now, ta-da! This, we have to explain this a little bit, because somebody might think, what, you got tortillas for your birthday?
Yeah.
But we put, we have on our support page, we have an Amazon wish list to ask people to send us food, because we don't really have a lot of money.
Yeah, well, we qualified for food stamps, and then we didn't abruptly, so.
Well, they cut them off.
They cut them off, like, flat out, you get no more. So this is incredibly helpful. Oh my gosh, there's two packages in here.
Oh, we're gonna eat.
Oh my god, this is great.
Now, I didn't know, can you freeze tortillas? I mean,
I don't know.
I know they have a good long shelf life, but.
Yeah, well, let's make a lot of Mexican food, man.
Yeah, we're going to make some tacos.
Absolutely.
Breakfast tacos,
that's awesome.
Lunch tacos, dinner tacos. Is there such thing as dessert tacos?
We can try. You know, we can create some if we want. Okay, so that's the first box. Thank you, Tigger. I'm like super psyched. Okay, the next box, a little bit heavier. Let's see.
One thing,
a bigger box.
One thing I will say about Jen, and this is my marriage tip, probably my only marriage tip.
What?
To anyone. I mean, I don't want to say, you know, you got to find a woman like this. You got to find a person like this. Whatever you're into.
Yeah.
If you want to get into a relationship, you know, find somebody who's incredibly happy by opening a package with
tortillas that are gluten free. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I am perfect. Really happy about that. Okay. So this one has a company name of Fortune Tree.
Fortune Tree.
Fortune Tree. And it has a lot of tape on here.
Can you manage?
I think so.
You need.
And I'm cutting this the wrong way. I know I'm supposed to cut away from me when you use a blade. I'm using the edge of the scissors. There we go. Get somewhere now. Okay. These packages are quite secure, and that is good. You know, we're getting here in one piece. The tortillas all got here in one piece too, by the way, because you never know with tortillas. You know, they're not exactly incredibly durable kind of things, but they're packed really good, and they got here in one piece. That's good. All right, I got one more part of this little box to fight with. As I, you know, don't try this at home, people. You really should be using blades away from you. Instead of towards you, like I'm doing right now. And I should know better, because I used to open boxes for a living when I worked at the bookstore. I was just opening boxes all the time. And yeah. Okay, we have an open box. We have some papers in the front.
We have an open box.
An open box. Yeah, okay.
Nonsense.
We have lovely green bubble wrap. It's very pretty.
I gotta say, the RE20 microphone is really picking up those box sounds.
Well, that's good, right?
Yeah, it sounds cool in my headphones.
Okay, so we have.
Could get into AMSR.
Oh, look at this.
What is it?
We have a box that appears to be full of, and I'm going to guess they're the same all the way through. There's so many cans in here. Oh my gosh. So these are the Ortega fire roasted diced green chiles that are mild,
nice.
Which we use in all the Mexican food.
We use those in a lot of the things we cook.
Yay. There's so many in here. This is awesome. Oh my goodness. It's just full. I mean, look how tiny this is, you know? There's another pop-up on the screen that
I'm
looking
at.
Yeah,
it's going to keep putting those battery warnings
up. No, it looked like a comment, so you might want to track down what that is.
Oh.
But, there's so many in here. Well, it might have been a tweet, you know? So see if it's a tweet.
Oh,
let's see if they're all the same.
Possibly.
Yeah, I think these are all the same. Oh, my gosh, this is awesome. This is so cool. All of these. This is great. Oh, my gosh. We can eat Mexican food for quite some time now. We do have one more box, which I should probably get to, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to set this one down on the floor.
Get them all. Birthday boxes, gotta get them all.
So here we are, you know, I'm excited that I have food, you know?
Well, you know, it can be a thing to be excited about.
It is. Oh, okay, this box is heavy.
Yeah, that
and
one.
When we got this from the post office, this one arrived first, and then the other two arrived together later on. And the woman at the post office is a small, older lady, and she was saying the box was heavy. You know, she was not
she said,
kidding.
Oh, is this full of books?
And we're like, I don't know.
You
know? Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to open this. Let's see. Ta-da! Sound effects as we open the box, because why not?
Yeah.
Oh, we got some more food.
Can get into the sound design biz.
Yeah. Okay, so here we have. There's cans in here. There's some bubble wrap in here. I gotta open this plastic to see what kind of cans we got. Okay, we've got This is awesome. Let me open this a little bit so I can get one out. Okay, we have a bunch of cans in here. And they are for Muir Glen Organic Diced Tomatoes, which we use in so many things.
Oh, yeah, we use those too, yeah.
Yeah, there they are. We have a whole box of these. This is awesome. Thank you, Tigger.
Wow.
We seriously really, really appreciate this. You can probably tell from the sound of my voice, but this is awesome.
Happy birthday,
Jen. Oh, my gosh. This is going to make things easier. You know? This is great. Yeah. These are good. And there we are. Oh my god, this is so cool. This is the best.
That is pretty cool. So thank you, Tigger. And we'll get some pictures of all this and we'll post it for sure.
But at least you know I could kind of hold it up while I was doing this. I'm gonna get this heavy box off my leg now.
Good idea.
Yeah.
You don't want to leave heavy boxes on your person.
Yeah, sit there with them. Yeah. So yay! I'm super happy. I'm super happy.
And that, seriously, that's going to make things pretty
easy. For a while,
because that's just like things that now we don't have to buy.
Right.
And we use these a lot.
So this is huge. Thank you, Taker.
Okay. Well, that's exciting. That was worth this. That was good for our inaugural scope.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
So, All right. I don't know. I'm debating on...
There's another comment has come through.
I'm debating on... it's actually... We got a tweet here from...
A tweet.
Tigger. She says, glad you like everything. And you do.
We do. I hope you can tell. I'm pretty obvious whatever I'm feeling. So I'm hoping that came through. You know?
So the way Periscope works is when you finish a video, it saves it to Periscope. And then people who follow you can watch it back. Now, I wonder if maybe we should end the Periscope so that we can save the video, because I don't know what'll happen if the phone dies.
Oh, we should probably do that.
The video.
You know?
The video could be lost forever. I don't know, or if Periscope will grab it and save it anyway.
Right.
So.
Okay, so let's do that so we at least have some chance of saving something.
So how many, what's our scope
count? We have four people.
Right,
we have four people right now.
One of them being you.
Right. One of them being me.
And we know one of them is Tigger.
One of them is Tigger.
And one of them is still probably Slow News. And the other one is probably still at Ryan Bear.
Probably. So, hey, guys, you made the inaugural Periscope for Hyper Nonsense.
I said that's Ryan Bear. It's Mitch Bear.
Mitch Bear.
Sorry. At Mitch Bear. I kept having the song Fred Bear by Ted Nugent go through my head. And I was like, Mitch Bear.
Oh, no.
He goes to all the Periscope vids, Mitch Bear.
Now.
All right, well, thanks everybody for tuning in. It's been fun. And if I weren't one of these, you know, iPhone slum losers who actually charge their phone once in a while, we wouldn't have to end the cast.
Right.
But you can still go to hypernonsense.com/subscribe, and you can subscribe in either iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, or Spreaker, or if you use some other pod system, you can just plug the RSS feed and you'll get the app, the full app, after it's done. So thanks. Happy birthday, Jen.
Yeah. Well, it's obviously for both of us, but I am super happy.
Yeah, true.
I am super happy.
Mm-hmm. And thanks again, Tigger. So we're going to sign off. You can catch everybody. You can catch the rest of the pod at hypernonsense.com. It'll be up sometime within the next day or so.
Right. So I'm going to wave goodbye to the Periscope and everyone watching it there. And you'll be able to catch this later. There's Sean. He has appeared.
Bye. Yay.
Okay. So he's going to cut the Periscope now. And that should be the end of that. Maybe the video will stay. And we're still recording, so we can continue on a little bit here. Now I'm seeing a little bit, and the Periscope has just stopped. And it's done. So now it says ended 1 second ago on my screen because I'm watching
it
there.
Yeah, you can close
and,
that
window. So that we've gotten that. And that was our first Periscope, everybody. Thanks for joining in.
So this at Slow News, he sent an, he tagged, who is this?
Who?
At Augenstein WTOP.
Okay.
Neil Augenstein, and he basically said, hey, you know, these guys are claiming that they're the first ones to do high quality audio on Periscope, so maybe we'll get a pod war started.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
We invented it.
Yeah.
Patent pending.
Yeah.
Now, do you have, Jen, do you have the show notes up for your situation?
I do. Mm-hmm.
All right. There's a little bit of feedback to read there.
Okay. So there's a comment here from Matt Sams. And I always love hearing from Matt Sams because I generally get to do voice work while I read his comments. And it's always fun. And this is what he said. This is one of those rare shows where I'm not mentioned. Is anything right in the world anymore? Hashtag huge ego. Hashtag Narcissus turns to a flower. Hashtag a flower? Question mark. Aw, well, you're mentioned in this one now.
And I responded to him on the website, and I said, well, I'm pretty sure by leaving this comment, you've guaranteed that we'll mention you on the next show.
And so we have, yes.
Mm-hmm. To which he followed up and said, yeah, that was that's my master plan.
Well, hey, it's working. Good job. So, very well-devised plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, speaking of hashtag Trump for Press 2016.
Oh, my God. You know,
what is this?
I don't know what you're looking for, but yeah, Trump actually did his announcement in one of his buildings and had people like selling t-shirts and all sorts of other things you can think of with the word now, Trump on them while he was doing his announcement. It was a marketing thing. Oops, I've bumped the desk. But yeah, it was like he used it for marketing right from the beginning. Anyway.
So, this news item came early, and we talked about how we actually saw Neil Young live.
We did.
In town not that long ago. Well, yeah. In kicking off his Republican campaign for Prez, real estate tycoon Donald Trump took the stage Tuesday to Neil Young classic Rockin' in the Free World. But a statement later released by Young's longtime manager said the blustery billionaire wasn't free to use the song. Quote, Trump was not authorized to use Rockin' in the Free World. In his presidential candidacy announcement, Neil Young, a Canadian citizen, is a supporter of Bernie Sanders for President of the United States of America. Manager Elliot Roberts said in an email to MSNBC, Trump did not immediately respond to the claim.
Of course not.
This wouldn't be the first time that a politician has hit a sour note with a musician.
Right.
And then they've got a list here because this is a thing that keeps happening.
Yeah. Now, before we get into that list, Trump probably figured that he could just take it. And if he got sued, he's got enough money to pay off someone anyway. You know?
Well,
because he's kind of.
And the thing that always strikes me about so many of these things is these politicians will take these songs and they'll try to capitalize on like one section of the song that sounds like it might be semi-patriotic. If you want to hear, if you want to understand a real kind of condemnation of America, especially in the late 80s, because that's when the song Rockin' in the Free World was written.
Yeah,
just go and read the lyrics. You don't have to listen to the song.
Read the lyrics. Yeah, it's kind of funny. What he selected is not what he thought he was selecting.
It's not a woo-woo, go wave the flag type song.
No, not at all. Mm-hmm.
And one of the other examples of this was when I think it was Reagan used Born in the USA by Springsteen.
Right, which wasn't
is also not not a patriotic wave the flag type song. So.
Right. But anyway, they think it is. They just that's the interesting thing. These politicians don't take a moment to read the lyrics. They take it out of context. They assume no one is going to understand the context or have heard the song enough to read the lyrics. And they also assume they can just take whatever the hell they want. I mean, like, I used to do music shows, right? And everything I played was PodSafe, where it was totally, Creative Commons released, or I got permission from the band or the artist, or I got permission from the, publicist that was representing the band or the artist. I took time to make sure that was all set and right and legal. There's no reason why these politicians can't send one of their aides to go figure that shit out,
Yeah.
They're just, they're either lazy or they're just so narcissistic they figure they're entitled to everyone's music. Yeah. All right, I'll stop ranting now.
Okay. So here's a few other examples. I Won't Back Down, that's a Tom Petty song.
Mm-hmm.
In 2000, Tom Petty told G.W. Bush to back down from using his 1989 hit. Petty's publisher sent a letter demanding the then presidential candidate to stop using it at rallies because it gave the impression that you and your campaign have been endorsed by Petty, which is not true.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently it doesn't stop there, because then we also have the song American Girl by Tom Petty.
Who used that?
He did not appreciate Michelle Bachmann using one of his songs when she was running.
You know, we know Bachmann doesn't know how to research anything. I mean, some of her views, well, man. Yeah, this, I'll not rant on Bachmann right now, but I could.
Bachmann strode onto stage at one rally with this 1977 song, American Girl, playing. Petty's team later sent her campaign a cease and desist letter.
Well, okay. If it comes to that, I mean, I believe that the artist has the right over their music. You know, they should have at least asked and gotten permission. How hard is that?
Barracuda. Sarah Palin made her entrance at the 2008 Republican National Convention to Heart's 1977 hit, but sisters Ann and Nancy Wilson were quick to pounce when the former vice presidential candidate used it. The song Barracuda was written in the late 70s as a scathing rant against the soulless corporate nature of the music business.
Yeah.
Particularly for women, the sister said in a statement to Entertainment Weekly, while Heart did not and would not authorize use of their song at the RNC, there's irony in Republican strategist's choice to make use of it there.
That's a strange choice. You know, like if you think that, if you honestly believe, if you're a politician, you honestly believe you're entitled to everyone's music to use how you want, when you want, without permission. And you honestly believe that no one listening to this knows the song or can extrapolate the context. Why would you want to be identified as a barracuda?
It doesn't
make sense. You know, now I know she was going for this whole, like, I can shoot moose from a helicopter kind of thing, you know, but it's an odd choice.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't one that has like the word America in it or something in the portion she chose. It doesn't, I don't think that's in there at all, but,
Bear Americuda.
Yeah. I mean, this is an odd choice, you know?
Next we have the song, Our Country. Palin's 2008 running mate, John McCain got into his own clash with a prominent artist when John Mellencamp asked him not to use his 2007 song. McCain's slogan at the time was Country First. Coincidentally, the song, which includes the lyrics Help the Poor and Common Man, was also used by Democratic candidate John Edwards. Mellencamp had joined Edwards at one of his campaign rallies.
So it sounds like Edwards at least was endorsed by Mellencamp.
Yeah.
So that one probably had at least permission and endorsement. Yeah.
So next we have the song I'm Shipping Up to Boston. In another recent case of unhappy artists, the punk band Dropkick Murphys tweeted to Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker to stop using their 2005 song, which was penned with folk singer Woody Guthrie.
Wow.
And apparently on Twitter, they've got the tweet embedded here. Dropkick Murphys tweeted at Scott Walker, at Gov Walker, please stop using our music in any way, .. We literally hate you, love, Dropkick Murphys.
Well, that sounds like the band, yeah. Walker is Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
So why is he using going to Boston?
I don't know.
Or shipping to Boston. I don't know. I don't understand.
I wonder if maybe, you know, considering the way Dropkick Murphy's songs sound, there's probably like some interesting or very kind of, I don't know, upbeat or emotive, like instrumental passages or something.
Could be,
and maybe he was just using some of those.
Maybe, but I mean, like, they're kind of an Irish band, you know, right? I mean, they're rock, but they're kind of Irish. And Walker's not Irish, so what is he doing?
I don't get it.
Like, who planned this? You know, that one's confusing.
I don't know. So anyway, there's those. That's the end of that article.
Mm-hmm.
So.
There's been more, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think I had another one. If you give me a second, I can find it. But, I mean...
We don't have seconds.
We don't have seconds?
No, we're a podcast.
Oh. But I think I found it. Let me see. I know I have it somewhere.
Oh, you know, one thing I...
Oh, did you miss one?
One thing I didn't get to do while we were on Periscope. We could have been the first... podcast with effects.
With effects. Ooh,
on Periscope.
Effects.
But no.
Ooh,
we didn't
effects.
Get that.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't find the thing, but there was more. Like,
well,
I know,
don't,
like,
don't bother with it right now.
Well, I mean, off the top of my head, there was, oh God, I'm losing the name of the band. See, I needed to do some more research first, but it was, this is going to come to me 3 hours from now. I'm going to know the name of the band, the song, and half the words and be like, that one, that's the one I meant. But it was,
well, you can, when it comes to you, you can tweet it and we'll retweet it.
Yeah. Yeah. This has happened before. I've been on a podcast. I'm like, the thing, I know the thing. It's this thing. And I couldn't remember. And the people I was podcasting with couldn't remember. And then later I tweeted it. And then people that were involved were like, oh, the thing. Yes, the thing. And no one else would have any idea what I'm talking about. But yeah, I'll find it. And I'll tweet that out when I can.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you got anything else you want to add to this?
I think that's it.
Okay.
I'm pretty happy.
Well, thank you for listening. HyperNonsense.com is our web of choice. You can go there and you can leave us a comment. We'll put this episode up at HyperNonsense.com/scope.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get the show notes there. We'll have links to everything. Now, the thing about this Periscope is the only way you can watch the videos after they're recorded is you've got to be a Periscope user. If I can figure out how, I'll link to the video and maybe through some weird thing. Or actually, I'll do something easier than that.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'll try to figure out how I can put in a link so that you can follow me on Periscope, and then you'll be able to get access to my videos.
Oh, that might work. Yeah, that might work.
If you want to see the video, and more importantly, the proof that we've made podcast history tonight by having high-quality audio direct from our mixer into Periscope, it'll all be there.
Yeah.
So, you can go to hypernonsense.com/subscribe. We got it all there. iTunes, Spreaker, TuneIn, Stitcher, and the RSS feed is there. You can go to hypernonsense.com/support if you'd like to send... well, it's going to be my birthday soon, so...
Or, so, you know, you can send more food, and we will be happy.
Or, you know, if you just want to help us out with an iTunes review...
That would be great, too. That doesn't
anything.
Cost you anything, because I know nobody, you know, there's a lot of people that don't have money. We don't have money. We understand. You know? Yeah.
All right. Well, I think it's time to go make some tacos.
All right.
So, thanks, everybody, for listening, and with any luck, we'll be back with you next week.
Bye, people. So Slow News has added us to a list of slow tweeps. Yay. Why are we in
Mitch
echo?
Bear. Mitch Bear, he goes to all Bearscopes. Mitch Bear. Don't you know the song Fred Bear by Ted Nugent?
No, I don't know
Mitch
much
Bear.
About
Mitch Bear. Mitch Bear.